Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When you reject God, the result is that God gives you over to your sin, to your vile passions, to the worst part of you. And all of us have things in our lives that we've had to deal with. All of us have had struggles. There's been no one here that has lived an entirely saintful life. And there's no one alive who has.
We all struggle with sin, and that struggle will continue until we are with Jesus. But when we develop a heart of repentance and turn to God in that struggle, His Holy Spirit helps us to be victorious. Today on Practical Christian Living, we are in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32, as we study how God deals with those who know of Him, yet turn away from Him and choose their own way. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you that you broach this topic, not only in this chapter, but in many places in the scriptures. And we know that people are denying it today, that they're saying that it's antiquated, it's old stuff, but it wasn't antiquated, not even in their day, and it's not in our day either. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to really examine our lives and not have an outrage for the sin of someone else, but not be outraged about our own sin. Reveal to us things that we need to repent from. Otherwise, we're going to be judging people when you've told us to judge ourselves and we won't need to be judged. And Lord, I pray that we would do that as well as we think about this, that we would think about our own sin and our own struggle and not just point a finger, but really look back at our own lives. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is our line by line, verse by verse, in-depth Bible study of the book of Romans. We are in chapter 1. We're going to be covering verses 24 through 32. Today, this passage speaks of the consequences of humanity rejecting God. It speaks of individuals as well. When you reject Him, when you say, I don't want to live for Him, there are consequences in your life because of that. We see the consequences of humanity rejecting God today in the United States. There was a time when we were considered a Christian nation. And then there was a time where we still called ourselves a Christian nation when there really wasn't things happening. But today there's no pretense. And the result that we have in the United States is a result of God giving us over to our own vile passions, as this passage is going to say. We saw in our study last week that God has revealed Himself to humanity, to everyone. God hasn't just revealed Himself to Christians, to people that are in a culture where they've been able to get exposure to the Bible. By the way, far more people have lived in a time when they can hear of Jesus than live before Him. And I've done the numbers before on that, and I'll do it again at some point. But it's a staggering number of how many people have been on planet Earth and how many of them have had access to the gospel. But even an unreached people group that have never heard the name of Jesus, God has revealed Himself to them. He revealed it in several different ways. We talked about this last week, by making Himself known in their hearts. God manifested Himself in the hearts of every person on the planet that has ever lived, that there is a God. Now, men suppress the truth, we learned last week. So there are men today who say, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. I don't think there's enough evidence for God. I've seen the evidence. I don't believe it. And I'm not saying that they believe in God. Some people have used this passage to say, we really know you atheists believe in God. No, they've suppressed the truth. So they did know, but they suppressed the truth. And I'm not going to call them a liar now. I don't think that's what this passage is doing. It's just saying that God has given everyone this manifestation that He exists. Also, He reveals Himself through creation. We see creation, which is so complex, down to the single cells, the DNA, the strand of DNA, the information that is in DNA is just incredible. And the Bible tells us the heavens speak of His glory. The creation tells us there's a creator. When we look out in the world, I got to night fish last night on Apache Lake, and just looking at the full moon and the stars and partially cloudy night, but still being out on a boat and just looking up at the sky, you just see the Creator everywhere, and God did that. He's also, and we're going to learn this in chapter 2, he's written the law on our hearts. It doesn't mean all 622 laws that we find in the Old Testament, in the law, but he's written, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's why cultures all over the world have these laws. I'm not saying, I'm going to say this a lot, I'm not saying there's not exceptions, but I'm saying that the laws that they find with groups that are unreached, they find they have the same laws and the same morals. How is that the case? Because God wrote it on their hearts. In Acts 17, Paul said to the people of Athens, he said to the Athenians, God's not far from you. God put you in times and places that you would grope for him and find him because he's not far from any of us, Paul said. There's not been a person on earth that God has been far from. God has been close to anyone who would reach out to him. So God has revealed himself and he's given us the revelation of his word and he's given us the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. The greatest archaeological discovery is the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that we found the Old Testament in caves that dated to 150 years before the time of Christ. And that's conservative, by the way. It's believed that some of them are 300 years before the time of Christ. And what we found was that they were identical to what we have today. I'm not saying there weren't spelling differences or slight word differences, but I'm saying that the teachings of the Old Testament didn't change any by what we found in those books. The oldest copy of Isaiah that we had was 500 years old. Then we found one that was 21 and a half centuries ago, and they taught the same thing. God has indeed preserved his word. There's something else amazing that's in the Dead Sea Scrolls. There are psalms that start with every letter in the alphabet. So you go through the psalms, and it starts with the equivalent Hebrew A, and then goes through the equivalent of Z. And we knew there was a verse missing, because one of the letters wasn't in there. And so we knew it was missing. When we found the Dead Sea Scrolls, we found the missing verse. And the missing verse said something like, God's word is pure and true and faithful. Something along those lines. That they would find the word of God and that a missing verse would be found that says God's word is faithful, pure, and true is an amazing, it's like God gave us a little nod. Yep. You're following the right thing when you follow the word of God. Now, with all of these revelations that God gave man, still, man chooses to walk away from God and seek his own way. The Bible says, broad is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there are that find it, but many find the road to destruction. The Bible says the result of this rejection of God, of God revealing himself, is to give them over to themselves and to their own vile passions. So when you reject God, the result is that God gives you over to your sin, to your vile passions, to the worst part of you. And all of us have things in our lives that we've had to deal with. All of us have had struggles. There's been no one here that has lived an entirely saintful life. And there's no one alive who has. And if you reject God, God will give you over to your vile passions. Now, this scripture reveals the insights into the nature of sin and the moral state of humanity when it turns away from the divine truth and finds itself living apart from God. The title of our message is, God Gave Them Over. And we're going to read that three times in this text. God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them over. It's like they didn't want God. They wanted to live for themselves. And so God gave them over to themselves to live for themselves. And that is what we are going to be covering in our study today. Now, I want us to take a look at our text, but I want to go back a few verses and I want to maybe make minimal comment on them, but I want it for the context. So our passage starts in verse 24, but I'm going to start reading from verse 21. It says, because although they knew God, because God had revealed himself to them, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. The word futile means useless. The thoughts of those that don't know God, the Bible teaches, are futile. They're vanity. They don't mean anything. You're just going through the motions And life is like a vapor. You're here one moment and the next you're gone. And the thoughts that you have are futile. You say, well, I've done a lot of good. I've helped a lot of people. Well, that's fine. But in the end, it will not continue on because you will not go to heaven. And the thoughts that you have now are futile because of that. It goes on to say, futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So upon the rejection of God is a darkening of the heart that leads to men exploring the extremes. And the further away from God a culture moves, the more extremes there are. The further away from God the United States has moved, the further the extremes have gone. It says in verse 23, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, here's our passage, God also gave them up to uncleanliness. That's a sexual term. He gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God basically said, you want to live for your flesh? Then I'm going to give you over to your flesh. It's like when someone decides, you know what? I want to live for alcohol. And then they find out they can't handle alcohol and they become an alcoholic and it completely destroys their lives. It's like that. It's like when you go down the road of drugs and you find yourself on heroin and you can't get out of it and it's going to end up killing you because you thought you could control it, but you couldn't control it. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about sexual sin that is given over to the point where it is not controlled. And we are living in that today in the United States. I'll cover more of that in just a moment. This is the form of God's judgment. He gives people over to their own sinful desires. It's part of how God judges. You don't want me? You want your flesh? You want to live for this world? Well, then you can have everything this world has to offer. You can have everything your flesh has to offer. He gives you over to these things. Listen to what Jesus said in John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The Bible says that which is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop, which is why I tell people to repent, because God will remember your sin no more when you come to him and repent. And there are things, again, in all of our lives that we do not want shouted from the rooftops. Now, our text goes on to say in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's where our nation is today. We've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And we get men who say that they're women or women who say that they're nothing. We get that there are six different genders. When the Bible says that God made them male and female and the culture exchanges the truth, you're a man or you're a woman, for a lie. And that's happened here. It's happened with marriage being legal between a man and a man. Now, it had been going on in some states, but does anybody here remember what year the federal law was passed for same-sex marriage? 2015. Bingo, right on the nose. Isn't that crazy? Does anybody remember that Clinton was against gay marriage? I almost want to bring up some of the things he did. Vile passions. Obama was against gay marriage. Isn't that interesting? Obama said, we'll never be a nation which votes in gay marriage. And then by 2015, we have it. We exchange the truth of God for a lie. Why? Because a gay marriage isn't a marriage. A marriage between two men isn't a marriage. A marriage between two women isn't a marriage. Why would I say that? Because God was the one who created marriage. And God gets to define it. And God said, for this reason, a man and a woman shall leave their father and mother, and the two shall cleave together and be one flesh. It's talking about the sex act, the consummation, making you one, but there is a unity between you and your wife, or between you and your husband, that is beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. And that's why divorce is such a violent act. It's why there's almost never a divorce that people say, that was a pleasant divorce. They say, we're going to have a pleasant divorce, but by the time they're done, you don't, because you're taking one and you're tearing it apart and you're making it two. And I'm not saying there's never a reason for divorce, because there is a reason to divorce, okay? But I'm just saying that that's why, because God's the one who designed it. And it wasn't for a male and a male, or a female and a female, to get married. But that's happening today. It's we're exchanging the truth of God for a lie. It's happening on a lot of different levels in the sexual arena, that this is what's going to satisfy you. This is what's going to fulfill you. We have in the United States, out of control, children who are being sex trafficked. In America, there's over 300,000 children that our government has lost track of and don't know where they are. They basically came across with a coyote or their pimp, and they've been turned out in the streets of the United States. These are the results of humanity, which is supposed to be compassionate and kind and progressed, when we take children and trap them in this lifestyle. The new law for Arizona that is being brought up, Proposition 139, thank you. And Psalms 139, you know what that says? You formed me in secret. Do you think they did that, or do you think that God did that? And Luke 139 is John the Baptist in his mother Elizabeth's belly meeting Jesus in Mary's belly, that is barely even a week or two old. And John the Baptist leaping in the womb and being filled with the Spirit, Elizabeth as well, because Jesus came in the room as what people would say, a clump of cells that could still be destroyed instead of life. For this reason, God gave them over to vile passions, verse 26 says, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Now, why does the Bible say even the women? Because in homosexuality, there's more men who are homosexuals than there are women. That's not to say that there's not women, right? I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying it's interesting that the Bible uses that reference when in reality that's what it is. I'm not saying that there's not a lot of women who have become homosexuals or lesbians or whatever you want to say. They're trying to get us to use certain words to normalize things. Do you know what's next? Pedophiles. That's what's next. If you go on to government sites, they no longer call them pedophiles. And they say it's rude for us to call them a pedophile, because you're supposed to call them a minor attracted person. Talk about normalizing things. If you realize where our world is going, it's heading down those roads. When you could have someone like Epstein, who was turning out children, and you get, what was her name, Maxine? Arrested. What was her name? Griswold. Maxine Griswold. Arrested, but none of the Johns. None of the Johns are arrested. Just her. Where are the people that did this stuff with the minors? That's not the only one, by the way. It's happening on a much larger level than that. So even their women exchanged the natural use for a woman against nature. Likewise, also men leaving natural use of women burn their lust towards one another, men with men committing what is shameful. So God calls it a shameful act. People today want to say, well, the Bible's antiquated, and if it was written today, it wouldn't write it like it did because it did back then. No, the act is still the same, and the Bible's giving us what it is. It is shameful. I've had people say to me, well, I'm homosexual, and the Bible says I'm an abomination. And I'm going to read you in a moment, the Bible doesn't say that a homosexual is an abomination. It says what they do is an abomination, because it's a perversion. And I don't mean that in the way like a preacher would be, there's a bunch of perverts out. I don't mean it like that. I mean, literally a perversion. A man was made for a woman, and a woman was made for a man. And when anything else is a perversion. I had auto shops when I was in my early 20s, and I had in my toolbox something I had inherited from my dad, which was a giant screwdriver. I have no idea why anybody would make a screwdriver that big. It's a flathead screwdriver. I don't know the screw that you would screw in with that screwdriver. I never used it for that. That's what it was made for. But I used it. Some of you guys will guess this already. As a pry bar. Exactly. And I'd get it, you know, I'd be in a little tight area. I had a crowbar that I could have used, but it's too big. Can't get it in. Now, they made little ones. Did I go buy one? No. I had my screwdriver. I'd put it in. I'd bend it down. And as it would start to bend and start to object with little noises, I started thinking, this is the way people lose teeth. Just like this. This is the way people get scars on their face. So you start doing this. You're trying to go. It was a perversion of what it was made for, and it was dangerous. And when something is a perversion, it's dangerous. And this is what the Bible's going to tell us. It goes on to say, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty, the error which was due. Now, a lot of people have chimed in on this penalty, the error that was due. And some people have said that there's such a penalty and that God gives them over to a base mind, which we're going to read in a moment, that they can't be saved. But we're going to see that's not true. This is probably talking about venereal disease. Because homosexual men particularly have a lot of partners. You know, the story that they're trying to sell, two men that love one another and get married and are monogamous. I'm not saying there's no one like that, because there is. I'm sure there is. But I'm talking just by strict numbers. I'm talking by studies that have been done about sexuality of people in general, including homosexuals, that homosexual men can have a staggering number of partners, even in an evening. And that's going to result in venereal disease. And there are venereal diseases that still can't be healed. The same thing is true, by the way, if you're promiscuous. See, people, they stand against homosexuality, and I'm homosexuals, I hate those homosexuals. And they'll speak against it, forgetting that they themselves have been involved in fornication or adultery or some other kind of sin. It is hypocrisy when you speak of one in a vile way, but don't see the vileness in the other. It is all a perversion of what God meant. God meant for sex to be in the confines of marriage. And anything outside of it is bad. Now, this seems to be a peak in the book of Romans, but that doesn't mean that my own sexual involvement when I was younger is somehow better, or I'm better than them because I didn't get involved in anything homosexual. I have to look at what I have been forgiven for and know that they can be forgiven as well. And we have to address something, because the church for a long time has said about those who are attracted, same-sex attracted, well, that's just their cross to bear. They're same-sex attracted. And so, you know, they just need to remain single. And, you know, they're just same-sex attracted. That's the way that it is. And I might have even have said something along those lines. And I am taking it back. I'm repenting from saying that. Look, same-sex lust is lust. And lust that is the opposite sex is lust. It's all lust and needs to be repented from.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m., and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.